Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Neralo Monthly Teleconference on Monday, the 8th of December, 2014 at 20 UTC. On the call today, we have Evan Lovelich, Alan Skews, Eduardo Diaz, Glenn McKnight, Louis Hooley, Alan Greenberg, Garth Bruin, Judith Hellerstein, Lee Marie Thompson, and Tom Lohop. We have apologies from Sylvia Vivanco. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Ariel Liang, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Garth.
Thank you very much. This is Garth Bruin. Welcome to the Neralo Monthly Call for December 2014. Before we begin with the call, I have a brief announcement to make. After discussing this with the Neralo leadership, I have decided to request a leave of absence from the chair of Neralo due to a number of pressing family obligations. My plan, and as documented, and I'll release this to the list, is to return as chair in April for the April call. And before proceeding, I would like to get the region's consensus on permitting me this leave by affirming with the green check button, and I'll wait for those folks on the call to agree to that. And I see Alan has his hand up, and while people are putting in their checkbox, go ahead, Alan, take the floor.
Thank you, Garth. Technically, we need a quorum to make a decision like this, which is 50%, but I cannot imagine that if we send out something on the list, we will not get that. So I think based on the overwhelming support on this meeting, we can presume it will get done within the next day or so.
Okay. Thank you. We will endeavor to make it official. And in clearing, to follow up with that, in terms of the specific request, in order to provide for leadership, we are going to be, at least I will be recommending that Evan be an acting regional chair, and that in making it consistent with our previous plans to do a trial run with a vice chairship with Judith Hellerstein as the vice chair, I'm going to recommend that Judith be the acting secretariat at least for the Singapore meeting. And then for the remaining calls between now and April 2015. We can definitely discuss this more, and we'll release it to the list for discussion as well. With that being said, can the secretary please read the action items 2.0? Thank you.
Sorry, Garth, this is Evan.
Go ahead. No, just giving you the go ahead.
Okay. So for the action items, this is an update on the open ones. So the one 2.1 is on the First Nations Mentoring Program. Heidi, is there an update on that?
Yes, this is Heidi. For the record, on that, the idea is to have a global mentoring program for First Nations people, and that will likely be submitted as a fiscal year 16 ACSO request. And that process should be starting this month. Thank you.
Okay. Heidi, this is Evan. Just as a matter of information, First Nations is a term I typically only hear within Canada to use this. So elsewhere, either the term Aboriginal or Native or others. So it might be worth researching what the appropriate term is used worldwide, so there's not a confusion of what's intended. Because I remember that when we were doing the Native presentations at the LA meeting, when we used the term First Nations, we got a lot of funny looks to the Canadians. So,
this is Heidi. Just really quickly, I see that we have Loris on the call, so perhaps Loris might be able to clarify that.
It's Alan. I have my hand up.
Alan, do you have something on to this comment?
Yes, I
okay.
do.
Okay, go ahead, Alan.
Heidi, I believe when we first discussed this, the decision was made to call it disadvantaged communities. There was a general consensus that certainly includes indigenous peoples, but it might be a somewhat wider and a more generic term to use. So I think we did decide to use disadvantaged communities or something very close to that.
Okay.
This is Garth. I want to throw that out to Glenn and some others. Is that actually the case? I'm not sure personally about the disadvantaged communities tag, because I'm not sure if that necessarily applies to every single Aboriginal or Native community. Glenn, are you able to comment?
Yes. Hi. Glenn, for the record, I know this was a big discussion in the Accessibility Committee because we also had that issue of accessibility and the digital divide. I'm uncomfortable with the term disadvantaged. It's the same as the term disability. It's a loaded term. So the whole onus of this when we started talking about this is looking at First Nations Indian population in North America, which were communities which have been ignored in the fellowship program. So because we can start talking other groups as well. This is the main focus.
Yeah, this is Garth. I feel like disadvantaged is such a broad bucket that could involve so many different groups. I think that we made a point in recognizing, Aboriginal, First Nation, Native groups as being a specific area where we needed more representation and we needed more focus. I think that if we can't come to an immediate consensus on what the terminology is, we should continue to discuss it. But I for one, and I think Louis is backing me up on this, and Glenn, that disadvantaged communities may not be the appropriate tag. Louis, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, so thank you, Louis, for the record. I don't like the term because even some of the communities that I've been in touch with would probably not appreciate having being put in a disadvantaged group, or using that term would be, I think, even offending for some of them. Thank you.
Yeah, and this is Garth again. I see that Loris has put into the chat vulnerable, unserved, or underserved. I think that those terms are even completely distinct from disadvantaged. I know we're getting deep into nomenclature here. Evan, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Thanks, Garth. I simply want to make the point that this is a discussion that we shouldn't be having just within Naralo. If Heidi's point is that this is being taken global, then we're not really the only arbiters of this. There's other people like Kariatana Kiaru from the Maori community in New Zealand who might have something to say about this. There's other in the community. If this is going to be global, this is not a Naralo. This is not a Naralo decision or discussion only. And I'm not quite sure what form this needs to take, but we're not the place to resolve this.
Okay. Thank you, Evan. So we can table this and move on with the action items. Thank you.
If I can make a suggestion as a follow-up to the action item, Heidi, could you possibly, either yourself or have somebody on at-large staff, try and assemble a group of people who have an interest in these communities and let's tackle this?
Yes, this is Heidi. I'll actually do that with pleasure. A global group that can help prepare that proposal. Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, Garth, I didn't just punt it without having something coming out of this that had some indication of going forward.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, moving forward. Action item 2.2. To staff, please advise the status of the request to grant access to the IB log for the development and testing of the new ICANN website. It scrolled off the screen, but I'm assuming it means as the website is suitable for the visually impaired. Is there an update on this?
Well, this is Garth. I do have a couple of emails from Laura Benningford. Heidi, is this the person who would be coordinating this?
Correct. This is Heidi for the record. Yes, Laura Benningford and I have been in touch on this issue. She did also confirm that she's been in touch with you, Garth,
mm-hmm.
and I wrote her just earlier today for an update on that, and I'm waiting for a reply.
Okay. Thank you. We'll keep coordinating on this. Go ahead, Evan. Evan, are you still with us? You may be muted.
Sorry about that. I was muted. Okay. Sorry. 2.3 has to do with potential ALS decertifications pending, one for peoplewho.org. and the other pending decertification for Web 405. It mentions at the end of that on hold. Are there any updates on those processes?
Yeah, this is Garth. The on hold refers to only Web 405. When I sent out a last most recent notice to these two groups, the representative for Web 405 did respond to myself and Evan. So we actually requested that they, you know, send their notice out to the list so that everybody could be aware of it. Haven't heard more from them, but we do want to, you know, not go through with decertifying them until we know all their details and if they do want to remain and what they're going to do about it. But as far as people who goes, there is no response.
Okay, so at that point, given no response, do we discuss your next step to take on that regarding PeopleWho?
This is Garth again. I think that given the history, it may be advisable to move forward with a decertification of PeopleWho. I mean, I definitely would like to put that to a regional consensus before doing anything else. Did not hear any more discussion on the Naralo email threads about it after we mentioned it, but I want to give anybody who has a need to speak about it to speak about it here. Was anybody part of Naralo when PeopleWho first came on? I mean, I know Eduardo has been around for a long time and some others. Evan, do you have anything to say?
This is Eduardo. I'm putting my hands up. I remember them, but that was like a few years ago. Who is the person, the contact person?
It's Sylvia Karras.
No, I don't remember her.
Okay. Does anybody have any kind of any interaction with her, any recollection of dealing with the group?
Eduardo, this is Eduardo. Sorry, Garth, this is Evan. There hasn't been any contact that I'm aware of for years. In the early days of Naralo, they were involved, but it dropped off and essentially has gone away without notice.
Okay. All right. So I suppose that we will start the procedure then. Okay. Go ahead.
Garth, this is Heidi.
This
real
yep.
quickly. Sorry, is that an action item?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to discuss this in more detail in the agenda further down under item 5.2. So
okay,
we can wait till we get to that point in the call.
Perfect. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, moving forward with the action items is 2.4 is the update with the MOU between Naralo and Aaron. Garth, very briefly before you joined the call, it was discussed, and just to make sure that we knew the current version that was being considered, there is a Rev 2 of the MOU. At one point I was considering possibly suggesting some amendments, but upon reflection after seeing so many other people approving of it as is, I decided not to. So what we have in front of us is the Rev 2 version of the MOU. And so far, looking at the comments on the mailing list, I've seen significant approval of it and absolutely no dissent.
Okay. With that being the case then, we'll take a quick consensus here on the call while we're at it to approve of moving forward with this MOU. and I just put my checkbox in. Glenn, you have your hand up, or you did? No?
This is Eduardo. Eduardo, I have my check. Virtual check.
Somebody else wanted to speak? Was it Evan?
That was me, Garth. And although this is related to something later on, in fact, it was my hope that if I receive the funding for CROP, it's my hope that at the ARIN meeting that we can actually have some kind of a small signing ceremony where we're able to move this forward.
Okay. That's fantastic. Okay, it looks like there are no objections. All right. All right, next item.
Okay, the next item is 2.5. Update on the ALS application for the Consumer Association of Canada.
I guess that's a question for staff. Do we have an update on that application?
This is Heidi. I will need to check on that, on the status of that.
Okay.
And I'll get back. I'll try to get back to you before the end of the call.
Okay, if that's the case, then the last one is on the action items to do is 2.6. Staff is to update when we can submit requests for new brochures.
So I think that means do we actually have an updated brochure that is suitable for sending out?
This is Heidi, Glenn, Garth.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been working, Sylvia and I have been working with the communications department over the last few weeks, and what we would like to start this month with the outreach working group and the secretariat is discussing a new approach to the way that the RALOs do outreach in terms of their document, a much more interactive and more multimedia than just these trifles that have been around now for about 5 years or so. So if you would, perhaps bear with us as we get that process started and then become involved in the discussions on how this new approach would look, that should be starting this month sometime.
Okay. Are there any comments on that from anybody?
Okay, that's the end of the action items. We're now on to item 3.
Thank you very much. This is Garth Bruin again. So, updates from various working groups. The first working group in the list is Technology Task Force, latest meeting. So there was a meeting. Who was prepared to discuss this? Anybody? Anybody part of that effort? Glenn, go ahead.
Yes. Hi, everyone. Glenn, for the record, we had another meeting today. We've been looking at different conferencing tools, and we reviewed two additional ones today. We are looking to the wider community as a representative, now the co-chair on the committee. We are looking for people who are interested in participating, number one, and also suggesting ideas, whether it's conferencing tools or other tools that we can assess in our call, and would like to invite as many people as possible to participate. We'll be doing a short summary, which is a cross-assessment of each of the conference tools that we tested from not only different platforms, Windows, Mac, and Linux, but we also look at the tools from an accessibility point of view. Any questions?
No.
Okay.
All right. Wonderful. How, if somebody wanted to join that working group, who is the chair of that group, Glenn?
Yeah, the current chair is Dev, but you can get hold of me, Judith, or Dev anytime, and we have a schedule. We have another call next week as well.
Judith, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes, it's Judith Helsing for the record. I just wanted to say that Glenn and I are the vice chairs of that committee. And Dev is the chair, but what Dev is, Dev is not going to be traveling because he's no longer on ALAC. So either Glenn and I will be holding the on-site meetings at the ICANN meeting. also, we do want people to test out these tools from an accessibility point of view. We've tried it on many different platforms, and some work, some don't. But we really do need people who are either hearing or visually impaired so that, we can make sure that anything we approve would work with all platforms.
Okay. I think that's an excellent suggestion, Judith. Thank you. All right. The Accessibility Committee, we have an update from that group.
It's Judith Hellstein for the record. I could give an update. We have not, Glenn and I are working with Laura on trying to figure out how we can get captioning for Adobe Connect, how we can get an approval to do captioning for Adobe Connect. Glenn has also been demonstrating captioning on videos. So I need, I can produce videos that are out. We should have those closed captions as well. The YouTube closed captioning that is offered for free is really not used. It's actually horrible, and most of the people in the deaf community turn it off because it's so bad. So we really do need, if we're going to be producing stuff on ICANN and putting it out on the web, we do need to have those captioned, and so we're working with Laura to explore how the best way of going about that. Glenn, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, sure. I've done a short slideshow on the tool. It's a deaf guy out of Australia. He's created a tool called Craptions to Caption, and as long as you own the video, you can edit the, you turn on the YouTube captions, and then you edit very quick, nice tool. As anyone has ever seen the closed captions in YouTube, it's awful. It's also legacious because some of the stuff can be quite bad. So, if you're interested and you own a video, this is a great tool. It's in a beta format, but if you're interested, I'll be doing a presentation in one of our technology task force sessions.
Glenn, this is Garth. Did you say legacious?
Yeah, because I did. Because if you take a look at any video, sometimes they muck up the names of people and their titles, and it's because they get it so wrong. There's been cases that it's legacious. Yeah.
Okay. Great. All right. Thank you. This is all very important information and things we need to be aware of. All right. Next. The Cross-Community Working Group on IANA Transition. Is anyone prepared to speak about that? Very timely subject. No hands.
This is Eduardo.
Okay, por favor.
I'm going to try to fill in what we have been doing and what is going on, and I will defer to Alan to fill out the gap. There is a proposal. I'm talking here about the proposal for the names issue, not the technical part or the other areas like the protocols and the addresses. Talking about the names, and I'm participating in the group that is putting that proposal together, and this proposal is already for public comment, and basically what they're proposing, what is being proposed, is to create an independent company, which is called contract company, which is supposed to be a shell company that will not have any staff or any funding or anything like that. There are few details about that company that will be independent of ICANN. And the only purpose of that company will be to administer the contract for IANA. Basically, it's doing what NPI is doing from the contracting side. And then there is this group, it's called the Multi-Stakeholder Review Team, that will give this contract this company instructions on what to do with the contract, specifically if there's going to be an RFP to move the contract away, if there are issues with the IANA operation and being able to direct basically that corporation that we don't know what it is, and this multi-stakeholder review team, there is a discussion about if it's inside ICANN or it's going to be outside of ICANN, and if it's going to be either way, what about the accountability of that group? So that's another issue. And there is another group that has been proposed that is like the overseers, the customer, or the customer CSC committee, something like that. It's to oversee the day-by-day operation of IANA, just to make sure that, you know, things are moving along and there are no things happening there. And that will be like a standing committee. What is being proposed there is that this committee is mainly registries and registrars that will be there, and we're people of saying that it should be multi-stakeholder. And then the fourth group that is being proposed is an independent review panel that, you know, if you want to complain about the IANA independently, then you will go to this independent group and to do whatever you have to do there. Basically, that's the proposal. And if Alan is in, here, I will defer to him to give you perspective of what we believe in ALAC. Well, we're seeing this from a different perspective. So, Alan, if you can give you that perspective, then I would really appreciate it.
Alan, if you're prepared, go ahead.
Yep, thank you. Eduardo has described it, and certainly those within ALAC, and we're not unique, but we're in a minority right now, have very significant problems with the proposal, and specifically the concept of the contract code, the company which will exist solely for the purpose of awarding the contract. By the way, Eduardo, it's no longer no people and it's no longer free. There's been acknowledgments that's not likely to happen. Essentially, what we have suggested is that the NTIA transfer the contract to ICANN, and that their ICANN's accountability be enhanced so that there's no that there's recourse if something starts going wrong. The concept of having this company that exists solely for the purpose of awarding a contract and taking all of its advice from other multi-stakeholder entities just doesn't. It seems to be overly complex and overly expensive, and potentially fraught with long-term problems without an awful lot of benefit. There is a general agreement that ICANN is doing a fine job right now. No one sees that changing, but there's this worry that what happens in the future. And my preference certainly would be to make sure that ICANN is fixed so that it is accountable to multi-stakeholders, because it has wider import than just IANA, and not try to build very complex processes over and above it. But we'll see how that comes out.
Okay. All right. Scarth, no further hands up about this subject. So getting more deeply into the accountability issue, the next group we have is Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability. Do you have any updates from that group? Nope.
Glenn, this is Evan. The group was just formed.
Okay. What's the purpose of the group?
Alan, you're on it. You might as well offer an explanation.
There are two streams. One is to put in place, or to recommend to put in place, any changes that are needed to ICANN to enhance its accountability, to allow whatever the transition is to happen. And the second is a longer-term effort to fix ICANN's accountability in the more general sense. The way I put it is we are in a situation right now where various entities and people around the world do not trust ICANN, and we need to put in place processes, procedures, rules, structures, whatever, such that ICANN can be trusted. And ICANN has the faith of the world in doing what it's supposed to be doing. So that's where we sit right now.
Okay. Thank you very much.
It will have its first meeting tomorrow.
Tomorrow, where and when?
Teleconference, 2000 UTC.
Okay. Thank you.
If you are a member, you will be a member or a participant, you will be invited.
Okay. Next, capacity building series of webinars scheduled for the year. This almost seems like a general statement.
No, this is Judith Helsing for the record.
Go ahead.
I drafted the agenda. What I meant to say is that there's a whole series of webinars scheduled for fiscal year 2015. Some have happened already, like the one on IANA function standard naming and numbering, but there's others coming on. There's one on Wednesday on IANA name function stewardship transition that Olivier is going to be speaking on, and then there's sessions on ICANN 52, understanding and distinguishing among cyber activities, IANA function stewardship transition, enhancing ICANN accountability, universal acceptance of TLDs, and security and stability. So these are what have been selected for FY15, and we always like, Navolo did not have any input into this. Other different RALO suggested inputs. I'm on the committee as well as some other people, and so I posted a link to the chat, and I think Heidi also did. You can download some of the presentations that happened already, but that's basically try to encourage others to join. I think the purpose of the webinars and why these were picked is these were of general interest to everyone, to most of them, and to try to enhance knowledge and training of ALS members so that to give them some ideas of what are the main issues that are coming about. And maybe Alan Olivier has more information to comment on this.
No. Okay. Nope. Doesn't sound like it. Okay.
Olivier?
Olivier? Go ahead.
It's Olivia. Sorry, it's Olivia speaking. It took me a little while to get off mute. The one that's coming up this week on Wednesday, I believe, is going to be, and we hope to be ready by then, to have a draft statement on what the ALAC is going to be sending for this IANA stewardship transition process, which arguably is, I would say, the most significant thing that's going on at the moment out there, because it has the potential to pretty much affect the way that the route is run, and that's the route is pretty much the center of the domain name space. And if your domain names don't work, then the internet doesn't work. So it's a very significant discussion that's taking place. You've heard earlier from Eduardo about some of the positions that the AI has been defending, and they are controversial because we are in a minority. But one of the things we want to do is to get a statement out as soon as we can and find out if there is support for this out there. And obviously we would need to find out if there is support in the at-large community and explain the issues that we have to people in the at-large community. So it's a good time for people to be involved and to attend that webinar. And we'll be it's not only just Olivier that's doing this, it's the whole set of participants in the community, cross-community working group that will be presenting. And we will be looking forward to hearing feedback on this there and then. So I look forward to seeing you all on the call. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Now, Evan does not have a comment on future challenges. He does have a comment on new gTLDs. So, Evan, if you're prepared to take the floor on that, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Garth. I'll keep my comments brief. As some of you know, at the end of the LA meeting, I read out a motion that was passed by ALAC that was essentially commenting on particular strings of high public trust in the banking, financial, and gambling areas, where we had a concern that public interest commitments were not satisfactory help addressed. This was the result of a lengthy public comment process and a unanimous ALAC vote during the ICANN meeting. So we had issued official advice to the ICANN board calling for a freeze on a certain subset of the new GTLD domains being considered. It's my understanding that the board is taking the advice under consideration. Early indications suggest that they are not going to freeze the domains. What is yet to be seen is whether or not the board is going to come back to us with any suggestions on how to improve the situation going forward. We basically tried our best with this. There's a number of communities that have been supporting us. The only communities really that have been opposing us have been essentially the new applicants and domain registries. Unfortunately, they've been carrying the sway, and so as a result, it looks like our request for the freeze is not going to happen. It's possible that there might be some attempt at a remedial a way to deal with public interest commitments, but at this point, I'm not even sure if that's going to happen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alan, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Just as a follow-on, yes, the statement the new GTLD committee made was they were not going to follow the advice, but would get back to us on what else they are doing regarding the situation. There's a new GTLD process committee meeting on this Thursday, and my understanding is that the only item on the agenda is further discussion of this issue. So presumably they are taking it seriously. What will happen remains to be seen.
Okay. Thank you.
Alan?
Garth. Yes.
So this is Evan. This is the first I'm hearing of. Alan, in the interest of being bottom-up or inclusive of the community, is there any interest in actually having anybody from the ICS and the concerned people actually involved in those discussions, or are they once again going to create a solution in the absence of the people that care about it? Thank you.
Alan?
I will not deign to speak on behalf of a board subcommittee. I wasn't invited to participate, is all I can say.
Okay. Olivia, you have your hand up?
And I believe they very rarely have people from outside intervening in these meetings. But that's not my domain.
Olivia, you have your hand up?
Yeah, thanks very much, Garth. It's Olivia speaking. And I was just going to mention that you might have seen in your mailbox on the similar subject, a call for applicants to be on this PIC-DRP, so it's the Public Interest Commitment Dispute Resolution Provider. It seems that one of the things is that it's going to have some people that are not just chosen by an unknown set of people. It asks for community members to be part of this. I don't know, because I haven't had a chance to discuss this with Alan or any of the ALAC yet, but I don't know to what extent the ALAC wants to recommend people for this, or whether we just want to have people in the community that should go and apply for this.
Okay. All right, in the interest of time, Evan has indicated that he may have to step off the call, so I want to give him the opportunity to conduct his presentation at this point in the call, and then we'll take up the rest of the agenda items afterwards. Evan, are you prepared, and is staff prepared to roll with that presentation?
Actually, Garth, Glenn is fully capable of doing the presentation in my absence. In fact, the slide deck is of his creation, so don't...
Okay.
Don't change the order on account of me. Glenn is perfectly capable of doing this.
All right, thank you. With that being the case, do we have any updates from the Finance and Budget Subcommittee? No? Okay. Hello? Alan? Please.
Hi, Alan Skews here for the transcript. A couple of things. The five-year operating plan is open for comment until January 5th. I'll post that into the chat. Also, we're looking forward to get an active group that are going to meet face-to-face in Singapore to deal with the comment, and also to start getting ready for the opening of the FY16 budget for approval and comment.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alan. Do we have any updates from non-com, if Louis is on the call, prepared to speak?
Yes, just very briefly, Garth Louis for the record. I forgot to mention one thing during our last Marilu meeting. During the Marilu, non-com meeting, we've been working hard on subcommittees. I forgot to mention that there was four subcommittees that had been approved at the time. One on conflict of interest, chaired by Charlene Denore. The second one on outreach and recruitment. NOMCOM has the same problem as we have with the NARALU for outreaching. The third one is transparency. I'm part of that subcommittee. I would like to just say a couple of words on that. Actually, the goal is transparency, but what we want to do is we want to improve the communications of the non-com with the community, ICANN community, and we think that by the experience that, as far as I'm concerned, I had in 2014, there's still a lot of room for improvement. For instance, having a report card that's not bureaucratic, but more journalistic, I could say. And the fourth committee is a wiki SOI revision has been done. It's chaired by Ron Endrup, late this year. So this is one thing that I forgot to mention. And the other one is that we've been going through a 30-60 degrees evaluation, review of each and every member of the 2014 non-com committee. And we decided during the last meeting that we would publish the results of the evaluation, the assessment for each of the non-com members. So mine is available. So if you're interested in seeing what the NOMCOM members think of your delegate to the NOMCOM for 2014, well, then I will be glad to post it on the list. That's it, Guy. Thank you.
Thank you, Louis. Do we have any other working group committee updates from anybody else? Going once, going twice. The next action item deals with crop. We have... Glenn is approved for NTED. Judith is approved for South by Southwest. Evan submitted for Consumer Electronics. Aaron, Evan submitted for April. And IEEE, Marie Thompson in May submitted. Do we have any updates on those three submissions? Alan, please go ahead.
Alan Skews for the transcript. Those first four are moving along. We're still waiting for any comments on LeMarie's submission. So if anybody has anything they need to say about what it contains that may not fit with what we're trying to do, then we need to hear about it right away because it'll be going to the RT group and then on to the regional vice president.
Okay. Glenn, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, everyone. I'm part of the organizing committee for the IEEE IHDC. It's going to be in Ottawa this year. They are very impressed with Marie's resume. We're going to be looking at having her part of the panel, and we'd probably be able to, through, because I'm part of the organizing committee, to get the Norello brochures in everyone's bag as well, which is always nice. But since Marie's on the call, I wonder if she has a chance to speak a few minutes.
Marie?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Okay. So I think it's going to be a really good opportunity to interact and exchange with the IEEE group. They've got a quite a good segment of the tech population that's focused on specific humanitarian tech issues that I think may be applicable to some of the issues that are being discussed within ICANN. I'm excited about it, and I hope if anyone has any questions for me or my background, I'm happy to answer can provide any details that are needed.
Thank you. Evan, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
I've already mentioned the things in the chat that I would note that the CES is starting to get down to the wire. I put my stuff in well in advance of the deadline. Just note that the CES conference actually happens next month, and the registration fees rise significantly December 31st. So the procrastination has the potential of actually costing money. So I would just note that to anyone who's listening that has any say over this. Thank you.
Okay. I think Alan said that they were moving along. I suppose him saying moving along means that they're doing the best that they can. I don't know. Unless Alan has some sort of insight. Alan Skews, I'm talking about.
Alan Skews here, yes.
Yep.
Soon as we hear from Chris, it'll go to finance. So, or travel, rather. And then you should hear back. I would expect within the next 2 weeks.
Thank you. I appreciate everybody's dedication to this project. It's very important. Glenn, you still have your hand up. Do you have any further comments?
Yes. I was just going to say, if Louis is still on the line, he attended that same IHDC conference last June, and he can comment about the being a participant at the event. Are you there, Louis?
It sounds like things are moving along. In terms of Singapore travel, it says Glenn confirmed. On the list are Evan, Judith is stepping in for me, and then, of course, Alan and Eduardo. Is anyone having any difficulties or delays in having their travel? I'm going to assume that there isn't. If there is, please let staff know and let us know if you are having difficulties. Communication outreach strategy. We are going to be continuing to discuss, of course, the disabled communities and other issues in terms of recruitment and making sure ALS get all the support they need. These are all important efforts. And then turning to our community, if Glenn is ready, we can begin his presentation.
Sure can. I've sent the link, and so the slideshow should be coming up in the middle of the presentation. Thank you so much. So what we have here is the slideshow is available on SlideShare if you're interested as well. So let me turn to the, oh good, I'm able to control the slideshow. Great, so let me, or maybe I can't. Okay, I can't see the full screen. I don't know if all of you can, but I'm getting my screen cut off. Oh good. Okay, so our mission as all the ISOC chapters, we're there to promote an open development and evolution and use of the internet for the benefit of all. And because of time, I'm going to just give a quick overview so you can advance the slide. ISOC has been incorporated for over 2 years. We're a Canadian-wide chapter. Anyone is able to join. And anyone who, there's also a second chapter in Canada, ISOC Quebec, which Louis Houle is the chair of. We're looking at organizing a conference coming up possibly late winter or early spring, focused on keeping the bits in Canada. We have created, we've been moving forward on a number of things. One is we've created a video series, which we've gone and spoken to thought leaders in Canada on internet issues. We have, as indicated, we have over 200 members currently out of the 55,000 plus individual members that exist with ISOC formally. We've set up, we have 11 board members currently that are active. We have a number of subcommittees that we're working on, and I'm just looking for a current picture, but I do not see a current picture of our board. But again, we have over 11 board members, and it's been proceeding. Most of the work we've done in the past year, like any organization, we've focused on systems. We've created a Civi CRM system for our database. We've also created a PayPal system for payment of membership. We do have a fee membership with ISOC. This is not always the case with ISOC chapters. Germany has a membership base. Many other chapters do not. Again, we're looking at issues that are pertinent to Canadians. The one issue that we definitely want to champion is keeping the bits in Canada. A conference that we're doing, hopefully, with the Monk Global Affairs organization based over the U of T. But because of time, Garth, I'm going to stop right now and ask if anybody has any questions. Any questions, anyone?
Don't appear to be any questions, Glenn.
Okay. Yeah, it's fairly short, but again, you're welcome to. I will drop in the slideshow link is in the chat. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Moving on to the next agenda item, decertification. Just so everybody is aware, per our rules, if an ALS does not vote in 3 consecutive elections and does not contribute to a comment on ICANN policy through our discussion lists for a year, they automatically lose their voting rights and active status in Norello. We attempt to notify the ALS of the status change and encourage them to return to active participation. I mean, we understand that these are volunteer efforts and things are difficult, but that sort of is reflected in the long period of time that we wait to hear back from somebody. So 3 consecutive votes and a year of non-participation, we attempt to contact them. I mean, they're given ample time to respond back. In the particular case of the two ALSs on the decertification track, we have people who we discussed at the beginning of the call. We have not had any participation from this group in several years. They were not present at the Mexico City Summit in 2009, and as far as I know and as far as the records show, they have not participated since 2009. So in terms of going forward with the decertification, I haven't seen any objections. We've given them a lot of time on this. The next group, Web 405, actually the same conditions apply to this group as they apply to people who accept that the representative of Web 405 did respond to me last week when I reached out to him. I'm going to try and elicit some sort of formal statement from their representative before moving forward with any decertification. But in terms of people who, I suppose, we are prepared as a region to move forward with their decertification, unless there are any objections. None. Okay. All right, moving on. Agenda item 6, the At-Large Advisory Committee. And I'll be looking for... Yes, go ahead.
Sorry, yes, again, it's Olivier. Now it's Olivier. Sorry, again, late on unmuting. Just with regards to that organization that you got in touch with, you said they responded to you. Was their response meaningful, or was the response just a case of, what are you trying to do, or are you just bothering us or something?
No, the response was, I guess I need to pay attention to this. I need to look into this in more detail, and I want to give them a chance to respond more fully.
Okay, that's great then. It's Olivier speaking. Yeah, thanks very much. That's really, I think that's a model of the kind of due diligence to do when you take a step forward into delisting an at-large structure, and it's important. And so I'm glad that you're doing so, and that you're making sure that this is done in a proper and meaningful way. So when we delist an ALS, we are absolutely convinced, and we know that the ALS is a complete dead duck, as one would call it. And that's important. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. ALAC, At-Large Advisory Committee issues, I'm looking for comments from Alan, Glenn, and Eduardo, starting with Alan. Any ALAC updates?
There's all sorts of things going on. We're looking at rules changing the process for certifying ALSs, in that we're not currently actually following the detailed rules that we have and planning on reformatting them. We have an effort that is just starting on looking at ALS criteria and expectations to try to put a framework in place for RALOs to set any additional rules, so that we have some good basis for ALSs that are actively participating. And I don't just mean commenting, I mean are feeding information back and forth. I suspect there's all sorts of other things, but you've caught me unawares, and I'm not sure I remember what else we're doing, but there's a good dozen initiatives that are starting at this point. We are reformatting the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, and that's an ongoing process now to gear up for the new budget year. The performance of our budget requests in the past year was not spectacular, and we would like to make some significant changes in that. Heidi, can you? What have I missed that's going on? Is Heidi still on the call?
I hope she is.
I don't see Heidi on the call.
Okay. That's all right. When was the last ALAC?
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, okay.
No, I think you covered it, Alan.
Thank you.
So when was the last ALAC teleconference?
The last ALAC teleconference was on the November the 25th. And the next one will be on December 22nd.
Okay. All right. Glenn, what's your take on ALAC business?
Yeah, we had our first meeting, so it's I'm new to the process, so I'm getting used to reviewing. So the recent comments I've done is on the budget. Leon Sanchez is the pen holder on that. We're working on doing an ALAC, a response to the strategic plan. And the other call was by Alan, was to comment on NOMCOM. So again, I'm just mainly a newbie. I would say Eduardo has more comments.
So being a newbie, Glenn, what's your experience so far with ALAC? How are things going? What's missing? What's working well?
Well, again, it was only one call I've been on so far. It's a lot of chat that I've seen. There's, again, the learning curve is still there for me. So it's still a new experience.
Okay. Eduardo, ALAC business?
No, I think Alan covered most of them. I can say that the monthly calls are well attended. So, you know, everybody participates. That's something that I have seen happening. But no, I don't have anything else to add. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So, under the...
Garth, it's Alan.
Go ahead.
Just a quick further comment. At this point, we're looking at an awful lot of administrative things. And, you know, I know there's a certain amount of frustration in doing administrative things instead of the work that we're here to do. But there's, you know, a lot of things have dragged for a number of years, and it's time to revise them. For instance, the ALS criteria has not been changed since 2007. And we have a lot of experience under our belt since then, and it's time to look at those kind of things. But in parallel, there's an awful lot of real work going on at the same time. Certainly IANA and accountability will be kicking in. The kind of things that Evan was talked about on PIC is rather interesting, that this is the first time that we've really gotten the focus of the board to the extent that we have this time. And so I think we're set for an interesting year. Thank you.
Okay. Olivia, you have your hand up again. Go ahead.
Thanks, Garth. It's Olivia speaking. I just wanted to add that in the spirit of openness, all the ALAC calls are open for everyone to attend. So if anybody is interested in hearing things, how things go on in that committee, then they're very welcome to be on the call. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. So underneath the at-large advisory committee agenda item, we do have a number of links there, the policy advice development page, the ICANN public comment page, public interest commitments that were discussed. These are voluntary statements, and please correct me if I'm getting this wrong, voluntary statements by the contracted parties that they're going to observe certain rules, certain self-discipline, and the questions around those have been, how do you enforce things which people are saying are voluntary, voluntary compliance? The cross-community working group charter adopted in 2014 for the fiscal year. Statements and endorsements being developed. The ICANN draft five-year operating plan, which has been mentioned earlier. The cross-community working group naming related functions. Draft transition proposal. These are things which are still open and being developed. The label generation. Rule set and tool project and the tool set specifications, and then open for public comments. .Madrid, the introduction of two approved launch programs, and new GTL, the action rules for indirect contention. What is indirect contention? Can anybody answer that? Does anyone know? I suppose
I can try. It's
okay.
It's a lot easier with a diagram, and I don't have one to show you at this very second.
Okay.
And on the ALAC call, we did have a diagram too, as an aid. Indirect contention is the following. If you consider there are, and I'm going to invent something, that there are four applications for .buy stuff, and one application for .more buy stuff, or buy more stuff. The five applications for .buy stuff are in contention with each other because they've all applied for the same string, only one of them can win. They are not necessarily in contention for .buy more stuff. If one of the .buy stuff applicants filed a objection saying .buy more stuff is confusingly similar with .buy stuff and won, then that .buy stuff is in contention with .more buy stuff. The other .buy stuffs are not in contention with it directly because they didn't file objections, but they are indirectly. So you, for instance, could have the last .buy stuff and .more buy stuff delegated because they're not in contention with each other. But you could not have the one that filed the objection and Doc Morby stuff delegated because they are essentially identical. Everyone clear?
No, I'm going to have to go back and actually read it.
It's essentially names that are not in contention because of being identical, but they're in contention because at least one of them filed an objection and were found to be in contention. And therefore, the other ones, which are identically spelled, are indirectly in contention.
But are they subject to the objection? I guess that's the
no,
that's
they're
the
not.
Main of it. Okay,
that's the point. If dot by stuff one objected, and it was found to be in contention with dot more by stuff. That is, number one and the more by stuff are in contention with each other. They could not be delegated. They could not both be delegated because they're deemed to be identical. Only one of them can go live. But if the second dot by stuff were to win among those five, it could be delegated along with dot more by stuff.
Okay.
So coming out of that, you could either have one TLD or two, depending on who wins.
Okay.
It's confusing and messy.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like it.
And we don't really care, which is why we decided not to file a comment on it.
All right. Very good. Okay, moving on. Is there any other business, anything anybody else wants to discuss or mention or report? Tom, please, go ahead. Tom, if you're on mute, we cannot hear you. Tom has posted a document, and he is typing. I can't hear him, so I'm going to give him... he wants to mention an event, and all are invited. And I suppose if you click on the document... I'm clicking on it. We'll see how long it takes to open it, if I can read it. I will, before closing the call. It says it's an ISOC New York party at holiday panel and party December 18th, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., 55 Washington Street, room 321, Brooklyn, New York. So that document is in the comments submitted by Tom. So that's December 18th, 6 to 10 in Brooklyn. All right, Alan, you still have your hand up. Did you have an additional comment? Nope. Okay. All right, well, I thank you all very much for your attendance, and I will be speaking to you all later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Great, thanks. Bye-bye.
Gracias. Bye.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines. Have a wonderful rest of your day.